The other night, Wednesday or Thursday, I went to bed. And my eyes were shut, but I wasn't sleeping. And the Lord gave me a vision. And the vision was, I was standing by a field. And when I looked out, I saw these beautiful flowers swaying back and forth. They were just lovely, all kinds of beautiful colors. But there was something about the flowers that was different. So I walked closer to see the flowers because I wanted to see. And the bulbs of the flowers were babies' faces. They were all, and they were laughing and they were giggling and they were happy and they were swaying back and forth in the breeze. And then the vision just disappeared. And I was so touched that the Lord had given me this beautiful vision of these babies swaying, these little flower babies swaying in the breeze. Interpretation of what? No, you say what the Lord gave
you. Okay. So, she emailed me the vision and asked me if I could interpret it. And at the moment, the only thing I could say was that it was a really good vision and that it was a heavenly type of perspective. But I couldn't give the detail until yesterday morning when I was awakened at 6 o'clock in the morning and I was in the spirit and the Lord gave me the revelation of the meaning. And the meaning is this. You know, the night before on Thursday, I talked about reaching out and ministering to people. And some of the principles that one should consider and the fact that we are going to deal with that in a series of teaching that we are going to give sometime soon. And the idea was this, that, you know, this was God's perspective, the way God sees things. God sees things, everything is beautiful. He doesn't see the bad things. They don't reach him. This is the things of the kingdom of darkness. He's in the kingdom of light. There's only beauty there. And the flowers, the plants there, actually, you know, the plants, the trees, always the representation is the same in the Bible. You know, people. People are like beautiful flowers. And the beauty that they have are the things, the gifts that God has given them. The things that God has put in them. And generally, you know, when we look at people, we see more the problems than the beauty that God put in them. God, you know, made them in his image. And every person as some beautiful things that he put in there. They just had to discover them. We have to discover them. You see, and when she saw the flowers and she liked the flowers, and she went to the flowers to see, to get closer to them. And as she got closer to them, she saw the faces. You see, as we, and the meaning is simple. You know, when we stop looking at all the problems people have and start instead looking at what God put in them, we can minister to them life. And as we minister to them life, they are born again. The things are there even before. But people don't see them. When we start see them, we can bring them out so that they can connect with the beauty God put in them. Praise the Lord. That should be an an understanding that should help us to reach out to people, to minister to them, instead of criticizing them or seeing their problems, because we all have problems. Praise the Lord. All right. Oh, the Lord did lots of things too that morning. You know, I was gone for 2.5 hours. So he made me change my sermon. I thought I finished to deal with that part. This is, this is not finished. There is more to talk about. We need to understand the way our words affect our life. Because when we do that, then we can break loose of many bondages and many strongholds that we may have. See, we have to realize the value of our words and the impact that they have on us, so that we may be motivated to change some of the things we say and some of the things that we, the way we see them. You know, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings God forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For you, by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. You know, this scripture is something that we should take very seriously, because it shows the impact and the importance that the things we say are going to have on us in our life, and what we are going to experience in life. I want to stress a moment one part of it. You know, says every idle word. You know, there is the translation doesn't convey at all the meaning that Jesus intended. If you go to the Greek original, you can see that the meaning is very different. Instead of idle there, what is meant to in Greek is something that is not working to produce something good. All our words should be producing something good instead of something evil. You know, something that has not a legitimate work or result from God's point of view is idle. That's the interim. So a word does not produce, or is not calculated to produce, a good result. That cuts off lots of words that we say all the time. Okay. But this is saying to us that we are going to give account for that. Now I'm going to get even deeper. You know, words are creative. They create reality. When God started and created the world, he said, to start with, let there be light, and light was. And there was, you know, everything that he was creating, he was saying it. So words have a creative power and create reality. Create the word that you say creates your reality. Now, not all the words are equivalent. And so one has to understand better what this implies. Even Jesus, all the miracles that Jesus did wasn't just they happen, you know, with the magic one dip up on somebody's head and happen. No, he says something. He says something. For example, even when somebody had received, like, for example, the woman with the issue of blood, he said, you know, be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well. And he was confirming and reaffirming what was taking place there, so that he could receive it. When the two blinds asked him to, son of David, have mercy on us, on Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 and following, you know, and Jesus said, you know, do you believe that I am able to do this? When they were asking to heal their eyes. You see, he was asking questions sometimes for to get them to make a statement. And they said, yes, we believe, and says, be healed. Receive your sight. You see, always, whatever things happen is because we say something. Thing is, words have spiritual power. They produce result. When, I should say, when words have spiritual power, they produce results. Hallelujah. Okay. So, when we, for example, read in James chapter 3, we read it last week, but I'm going to take from verse 8 there. It says, but no man can tame his tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God and the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So you see, there are two aspects of the things that we say. They can be producing blessings, or they can be producing cursing. Now, there is an aspect of that we may actually miss about that. And we may need to understand the difference and how it works for the blessing and the curses. Because if we like it or not, we are exposed to these things. And most people are just afraid of curses when they don't understand the way God works. God wants to bless us. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. 3 John 2. So this is his intention, this is what he wants, and God doesn't curse any of his children. Amen. The only thing that the devil does is curse, is put words of distraction, of words of messing up your life. He comes to kill and steal and destroy. But he's been defeated. We have to understand that. We have to understand the position we have with respect to these things. You see, many believers do not fully understand the implication. And the most powerful curses that you can get is the one you put on yourself. Nobody can put a curse on you if you are a believer. And the only degree that you have any curse working in you is because you accepted it. See, greater is the one inside you than the one in the world. You are much more powerful than all the forces of darkness they're trying to put on you, because they have no right on you if you are a believer. If you don't give them a reason or a purpose by going your own way. Now, we have to understand that. We have to understand the implications of that. Okay? Praise the Lord. And we have to understand, you know, the difference between curses and blessings. You see, curses is not necessarily somebody that put the curse on you. It's when you, for example, last week I shared, you know, when you say to a child, you are bad, you are cursing him. Because this, especially a parent that do that, or a teacher that do that, or somebody who is a big person of authority that does that, this is going to be implanted in them. They're going to believe it. And that's the image that is formed inside them. And they, you see, it's not the fact that what you said is the what is working in their soul and this heart that makes a difference. They believe it. They see themselves that way. It's a big difference between say that and what they're saying, what you did is wrong. Okay? But we go much farther than that. I mean, when you go around and make a mistake and you say, oh, I'm such a so stupid, you are cursing yourself. God made you that way, not stupid, but with infinite potential. Amen. To be able to overcome anything, especially if you allow His Spirit to empower you. And that's what He wants. So curses is not just, it's passing a judgment on another person. This is really having resentment toward another person. It's wishing them bad. And we should not. The Bible is very clear about that. See, in Luke chapter 6, verse 27 says, but I say to you, the Old Testament said, somebody curses you, curse them back. If somebody blesses you, bless them. And Jesus corrected that because that's the wrong thing to do. Even in the Old Testament, this is said in the Psalms that, bless even those who curse you. But Jesus said it even more specifically and clearly. In Luke chapter 6, verse 27 says, but I say to you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. I mean, you wanted to be clearer than that? You want to see God's blessing operating on you? Well, you better move in the space, in the dimension that God has, and not in the dimension of the kingdom of darkness. God's children bless others. We are called to bless the world. We are called to get them saved, which is the greatest blessing of all. When I'm talking about that, I'm talking about the spiritual needs that they have, which only we can give them. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 14, it wasn't just Jesus. It says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. So what you want, you can see that all over the Bible. Okay, see, when we can curse ourselves and we can curse others. Okay. When you go around and say, I can never do anything right, you are cursing yourself. Okay, I can't stand it. You see, the point is when we do those things, yet to see when that happens, when we make that kind of mistakes, is not when we are thinking logically, is when our emotions are pushing us in a certain direction because maybe somebody did something that we don't like or we did something that we don't like. So our emotions make us do. There is a pressure inside that the enemy uses for you to curse yourself and to curse others. Are you following me? You see, but there is a big problem, especially when you do it for yourself. When you say those things, you don't just say those things. You believe those things first. So you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart what you are saying, and that is powerful, going to be a powerful effect in your life. That's the way you get saved. That's the way you get messed up. Are you following me? So you had to take a stand and realize, no, I'm not going to play the works. I'm not going to be used by the devil to produce problems. I'm going to be a solution of the problems. Amen. See, the difficulty is that generally when we say those things, we believe them. It works differently in the positive. For example, if you want to believe, and I, that's what I'm saying, want to believe that God is going to heal you if you are sick. And you are there wanting to believe, but really a doubt about that. So you say, you may confess it, but really your heart is not completely there as if for the other negative thing. Unless you got your heart there first. So that when you make the confession, you confess believing in your heart. Are you following me?
Yes.
See, this is all over the scriptures that shows this to us. There are many, many scriptures that shows. So we have to be careful of looking at ourselves and picking up when we make things, make that kind of statements, and when the way we feel about things. You know, sometimes we may feel about that way. Oh, I may always make the same mistake. Don't, at least don't say it. Hello?
Yes, that's right.
At the moment, you just feel like saying it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody has that experience?
Yes, yes, yes.
Do you see why I'm preaching that today? See, because it's something that is so difficult for you to correct. Unless you're spiritually awakened about that, true. Unless you understand, you see, it's the understanding that gives us the breakthrough. Because when we know what you know what you're doing, you're not going to want to do that anymore. See, that's why the Lord yesterday woke me up and kept me working on me for 2.5 hours.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Then I had to stop because it was going to continue because I had to do something. You know, I can't stay there to enjoy it all the time. All right? But the fact is that, you know, that kind of understanding can give you breakthroughs when you need a breakthrough and you don't get it and you wonder why. You see? Because our emotions keep us bound. And it's not just the emotion, because we do it scripturally. I mean, we believe it and we say it. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to take a scripture and show you, because possibly you never made that connection completely, but, you know, the story of the fig tree, or the curse of the fig tree by Jesus. See, Jesus was trying to teach us something that I never heard it said that. But we had to understand what was going on there, and the number of teaching that at the same time, with the same event, Jesus was teaching us so many different areas. Not just one teaching, there are many. So I'm going to read from Mark chapter 11, verse 12. Now in the next day, this was after Jesus came and had the entry in Jerusalem that was blessed. Okay? The next day, when they had come out of Bethany, He was angry, and seeing far afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not a season of figs. In response, Jesus said, "Let not one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. That was a curse. Okay? Now, there are a number of reasons. Why did Jesus do it via the curse? I mean, this was a reaction. That's what we generally do when we don't get what we want. And so he was showing us the impact of that kind of behavior. A tree is not a big deal. Number one. Number two, the tree was along the road, so it was not the property of anybody. So it wasn't damaging anybody, any person specifically, because it was something that grew naturally in the place. Number three, the tree had a problem. Because trees normally put figs before the leaves. So if there are leaves on a tree, you expect to find figs to go and eat. And so he was taking a position against anybody that shows something that is a lie. That means people that are like the Pharisees, that they say, "Do what I say, but don't do what I do." Okay? So he was, and you know that Jesus had a position against that all the time. Okay? Really, we'll continue here. But there are a number of things only that we are going to see about this. Okay? Now, and the disciple heard it. He just said it once. He believed what he said. And then in Mark 11:20, it said, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried from the roots." You see, he said those things, and the fig tree didn't dry immediately. I mean, it was dead, but you couldn't see it. I mean, the results of something that happens spiritually doesn't happen necessarily immediately. Sometimes there is a time of gestation, if you want, in which the results becomes apparent. See, sometimes you can say something for healing, for example. And, you know, I've saw that, for example, praying for people. You know, I may pray and say, "You know, what's happening? Oh, it's just a bit better. I'm not going to pray a second time anymore." Because sometimes it takes time for manifestation to happen. But there is a way to accelerate the result. The way you accelerate the results that you're expecting it to happen and not. You see, the first things people do when you pray for them and there is no full manifestation, "Oh, I didn't get it." Well, that moment, you ruined everything and you lost everything. You know, if you get the manifestation or you don't get the manifestation, doesn't make any difference. If you believe it, it's going to happen. Amen. If you pray the prayer of faith, that's going to happen. Amen. And the thing to make it happen faster is to put a demand on it. Instead of saying, "I didn't get it," you say, "I got it, and this thing is going to go." And you're going to push against it. Amen. See, most of the people give up far too soon to manifest a miracle. You see, just from the fig tree, we can learn lots of things that we can apply to our own life or other things that, you know, in this case, for a blessing instead of a curse. Let me continue here then. So Jesus condemning hypocrisy and deceitful appearance. You know, but they have something else too. You see, the fig tree is actually the symbol of Israel. There is another parable also that you use for that. You see, Israel rejected Jesus and came into a curse for that. Okay? God didn't want that, but they put it on himself. They said it. His blood may be on us. Okay? He knew that. And if you know, the fact that in the following day, what did Jesus do? Before they even explained the disciple what had happened and what the meaning was. He went to the temple and cleansed the temple. It's the same attitude, the same position. Just after cleansing the temple, the apostles asked him, what happened? So they saw the following day, verse 20, Mark 11, 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the tree which you cursed is withered away. So Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. Actually, this big discussion, I put two articles on Facebook about the fact that actually the translation we should be is have the faith of God. Is God type of faith working in us? We, our faith, God, the way he created us, operate the same way as he does. Anyway, they were long articles. I'm not going to expand on that. Didn't write them myself. Was written by somebody else some time ago. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he say will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you ask in my name, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So you see, that's generally used for, to show how to get something from God, how to get the miracle, is not used generally for a curse, but works the same way. He was explaining a curse. Hello? And it's on our faith. It's not somebody else. See, so really the curse that we should be concerned about is the one we put on ourselves rather than what somebody else put on us. Doesn't matter if they are witches or whatever, it doesn't make any difference. God is inside us. The Holy Spirit is inside us. They got nothing. But if we believe it, it's a different story. Okay. Now, one of the things that is interesting is just the following scripture. Verse 25 says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against another, forgive him, for if your Father in heaven may not also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. You see, this is seems like there is absolutely no connection whatsoever with what we said before. Well, instead, there is. When you have unforgiveness in your heart, that means you have bitterness, you have hard negative feeling towards some another person. And you don't wish them good, do you? Otherwise you wouldn't feel that way. You see the connection? Okay. Don't need to go too much into it then. You see, it's not that you are not going to be in the position to receive from God. Okay? Praise God. So, See, the scripture about salvation in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 and following, you know, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the, you know, that is the word of faith which we preach, that you may confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God has raised from the dead, you will be saved. For it, with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is done unto salvation. You see, that with the heart, the operation that takes place is in the spiritual realm. When you put it in the mouth and you speak it out, it's in the physical realm. But that applies to anything that you say. You see, salvation is just a specific example for something that God wants to do. But for healing is exactly the same thing. For curses is the same thing. This is a spiritual principle showing the way we are made, so that what our heart believes and what we say produce results when we believe it. You see, that's why, you know, sometimes, you know, we want to believe to get healed, but we just don't believe it. Doesn't matter. We go around confessing it and confessing it and confessing it. Nothing happens because there is no substance to which our faith can give. Are you following me?
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes we get stuck. We don't get the result that we want. And we wonder why. Well, very likely we are cursing ourselves all along and we don't even know it. Now, if we to confess what we believe, and to believe something, maybe before we can actually confess it effectively, we should start meditating on it so that it gets down into our heart and we transfer from our head to our heart. So that we can start believing it, and that, you know, when we start having that as a reality bigger than the physical things that we see, then that maybe the senses that we have, then it's going to work. And when it doesn't work, we have to identify what is blocking it. I'm not doing any sins here. I'm doing everything right, but just I don't get anywhere. Are you speaking right? Are you believing right? You know, repentance is not just the what or the sins that be going and stealing, killing, or maybe, you know, other sexual sin. You know, when you say something that is contrary to the word of God, you are sinning. When you are believing something, when you are in unbelief, it's a evil heart of unbelief, you know what you have to do? There is one simple way to do. Identify and repent it. That's all. I mean, the very moment when you repent, you have the promise, yes, you're forgiven and the things go through and doesn't have an effect on you anymore. Otherwise, you allow this. You let the devil have predominance on you. Amen. Instead of the word of God. Are you following me?
Yes. Yes.
Do you see some of the things that happen that we generally don't even know? Hallelujah. You know, Jesus redeemed from the curse of the law. See, that was the problem before with the Old Testament. You know, in Deuteronomy 29 and 30 there, you know, says, you know, today I put you before blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life and death. Choose life so that you may live and your children. You know, that was good and was bad. Because the curses were pretty bad. This is why Jesus came to break the curse of the law, so that we are no longer in that situation as we are under him, are in him. You see, he did it for us. And we can walk in freedom because of what he did. He broke the curse of the law. And with that, he broke any curse that we may have. You know, lots of people talk about generational curses. There is not such a thing. The thing is there? That's a good question. You see, it doesn't work because God does that. It's because we do it. Because we believe that what they did as an effect of that, or we don't even believe it. We don't need to believe it. We need to see it and says, oh, you know, this is hereditary disease. Well, Jesus broke the curse. You don't need to take an hereditary disease. You say no because Jesus broke that, and so we should walk in divine health. You see, God wants us to prosper and be in health. Hello? Prosper and be in health. Can you say prosper and be in health? I mean, that's, do you want that? Well, God has provided for it. We have it. Hallelujah. We can take it. But you see, there is a part for us to take it. And we don't have to agree with the enemy tries to put us stuff. Maybe, you know, the doctor told us, you know, well, your parents had cancer. Maybe you get it. Forget it. You get it, not me. Don't take that curse. You don't need to take curses from people. Don't agree with them. But you have to take a position. It's not that you are passively saying, let them say, and then the thing stays inside you. You have to take a position that says, no. I'm not going to take that. You know, even in medicine, they discovered that, you know, even stuff that's hereditary has to be triggered by certain events. Why you don't believe the triggering taking place? You have Jesus' DNA. I mean, you were born again. And, you know, your father was God. So you have the same DNA that he had. Divine nature attributes. The divine nature attributes that you have are the same divine nature attributes that Jesus had. And this is your DNA, my DNA, our DNA. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Isn't the word good? You know, but we have to understand. See what it says in 2 Peter. You know, 2 Peter says, you know, through the knowledge of him and the precious promises, we inherit the nature of God. We inherit DNA that Jesus had in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I think we are running out of time, you know, but I think that we covered the basic ideas so that you understand how, if you are stuck, you understand how to get unstuck. You start looking at your mouth. You know, if you say, well, you know, I don't have any sin to confess, do you? You're speaking right everything? You're agreeing with God on everything? Or you agree with the devil? You know, if you are sick, for example, and this is a way, you know, it's one of the things that people really want to get over, but sometimes find difficulty to break through. You know, are you saying the right thing about it? You pray the prayer of faith. And then you see if you are talking faith, or if you are talking something else, or if you are talking symptoms. You know, as I said before, before we started, when you get the blessing, the enemy comes to take it away. You have to take a position right away and say, and say, I'm not going to move. I will not be moved. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think we should make a confession together. But believing, you see, understanding is easy to believe. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and your revelation that give us the ability to understand your mysteries. Thank you for the victory that is ours today because of your word, because of your spirit, because of your revelation, because of your power, because of your anointing, because of your life that is in us, because we accepted Jesus in our hearts, and our hearts have been transformed, and our spirit has been given life, and we have victory even today. And if there is any areas that we come into bondage, we come to the Word to find out if we are in agreement with your Word. And we'll change what we say according to your truth and not according to the physical things. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. You know, if you apply this, you should break through anything.